this is what I want you to talk about. So, I don't know how long this is going to take, but this is where we're going to start. Psalm 51. This psalm has a lot of meaning in it, more than I thought it had the first time I read it. But there's something in here that it's only mentioned one place in the Bible, and it's right here in this psalm. And this is what he wants me to read to you tonight. It's the 14th verse of Psalm 51. This is David talking to God after God had told him he was going to be punished for having killed a man so that he could have his sins covered or hidden. David prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted for 7 days. And this is one of the prayers that he offered up. But in the 14th verse, as he's talking to God in this prayer, he asks him, he says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." This is the only place in the Bible that it uses the word blood guiltiness. It's the only place in the scriptures anywhere that it uses the word blood guiltiness. And so I had to look it up to find out what it means, blood guiltiness. According to Strong's, it has to do with anything that you have done that has caused the death of any human being or any animal. Blood guiltiness. Anything that you have done that has caused the death of any human being or any animal. That's blood guiltiness, according to the definition. David was guilty of blood being spilt. And so he's asking God here, please deliver me from this. He's the only one that ever asked for that, in that way. I'm going to go back up to verse 7. In it he says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Do this for me, please. And he says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be delivered unto me." If you will do this for me, if you will clean me of this evil, if you'll take these sins from me, then I will be able to do this. I will be able to teach the transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Otherwise, if you don't make me pure, I won't be able to do it. You know, when you think about blood guiltiness and sin, from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, when they committed sin, death occurred. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go to the third chapter of Genesis. And this is where God has found Adam and Eve hiding in the garden after they have committed sin. Okay, he's found them, they were hiding, he's asked them, "Where are you? Why are you hiding from me?" And well, we were hiding from you because we were ashamed, because we were naked. And of course, when Adam said that, God said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Did you do what I told you not to do? Did you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did you do that?" He said, "Yeah." So then he tells him what's going to happen to him, and that he's going to have to work and toil for the rest of his life to make enough food to eat. And you go on down, go down to the 21st verse of chapter 3. It says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." So because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed, animals had to die. Blood guiltiness, right there from the get-go. Now God told Adam and Eve, "You're going to die also." But those animals died first because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed. That's where it started. Death. I never really looked at it that way before. But, I thought, well, they needed clothes. And, of course, animals were handy. And you could make clothes out of their skins. That's normal. That's natural, right? That's not the way it was in the beginning. They didn't need clothes. There's no problem. There was nothing to be ashamed of. It was just the way they were. But because of the sin they committed, the animals had to die. And from that point on, animals and men started dying. Abel offered up sacrifice of his animals. They had to die. Every sin that you committed, if you were of the house of Israel up until the time of Jesus Christ, animals had to die. Sometimes humans had to die for those sins. But almost every time, animals had to die. So blood guiltiness has been there from the get-go. Today, this morning, we remembered the death of another human being. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of us who had repented of our sins in the past and asked forgiveness and then followed Jesus Christ down into the waters of baptism and took upon us the name of Christ, This morning we were remembering what he did for us. That he had to die for our sins, for our blood guiltiness. Roger told us this morning that the word sacrament is to be an oath of loyalty for a soldier. It was the oath that you took as a soldier of your loyalty to the emperor or your king. And that's what we were doing this morning, was remembering the oath that we took when we went down into the waters of baptism and said, I will take upon me the name of Christ and I will be your child. I will be your servant. And unlike Adam and Eve, I'm going to keep your commandments. Thank you for your sacrifice that you made for me, that cleansed my soul. And now I'm going to go out and teach transgressors your ways, that sinners may be converted. That's what we did this morning, because that's what he requires of us as children of Christ. We are to go out and teach transgressors of his ways and convert sinners that they may be saved. It's 6:47 in the evening. You've had about 6 hours to keep that oath. How did you do? What did you think about when you left here and went about your daily stuff on Sunday? What was in your heart today after you left here? What came forth from your lips after you left here? I don't know what you did. I know what I did. I went and I had lunch with my family. We went to Olive Garden. We placed our order, and then we held hands at the table and we said prayer. And Guinevere was the one that said prayer. It was really sweet. It wasn't just a little, thank you, Jesus, for this food, amen. It was, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Thank you for this day. We ask that you would bless us and watch over us. We ask for these things in Jesus' name, amen. She was doing it. She was teaching transgressors of the ways of Christ, right there in the restaurant with that sweet little prayer. Today is an anniversary for me and my wife. 27 years ago, we went down into the waters of baptism. Today. And I made that oath. And when I felt God's Spirit enter into me, it was just like the day when I was 18 and I saw the fire of the Holy Ghost enter into my bedroom. It felt that good. It was beautiful. And I just wanted to sing the praises of God to the whole world that day. That was 27 years ago. I've been guilty of blood since then, many times in my life. I don't ever want to do that again. 10 years ago, today, is another anniversary for me. That's the day I was called into the ministry. And I made a promise to you and to God that day that I would keep His commandments for the rest of my life. That I would serve Him to the best of my abilities for the rest of my life. And yet, again, I failed. Several months ago, God let me know that He was not pleased with me and how I've been handling my ministry. He let me know in no uncertain terms that I was not worthy of what I was called to do. I was not doing everything in my power that I had promised to do. And He said, I am asking you to please keep your promise to me. Sean, I want you to do everything in your power to serve me the way you promised. And I have been turning it over in my mind and thinking about it for months now. You all know the testimonies that I have of God's goodness to me and my family, the things that He has done for us in our lives that are outright miracles. And the things that we have seen together as a group, God do for us. And yet I have not lived up to the blessings that He has given me and my family and you. I have not done everything in my power to be as good of a priest as He has asked me to be. My brother-in-law Jacob called me yesterday. I was getting ready to leave the job. It was almost 7 o'clock. No, not yesterday, Friday. Or was that yesterday? That was yesterday, wasn't it, Roger? Yep. And he told me that my mother-in-law was really sick. She'd been sick for a couple days, but yesterday she was really not doing good. And he said, we tried to get a hold of Jim, but he didn't answer the phone. He said, so I called you. Is there anybody that you know of that's close that we could call and ask to come and administer to Mom? I said, well, let me call Roger, and I'll see if I can get a hold of Glenn and see if they're willing to do it. I did. I called Roger. He said, yes. He said, get a hold of Glenn and let me know. And I got a hold of Glenn. Glenn said yes. And I let Roger know that, yep, Glenn's ready. Roger went and picked him up. They went to my mother-in-law's and they administered to her. I was in Leawood, Kansas. I was pulling out of the driveway when Jake called. And I got to my mother-in-law's before they finished their prayer over my mother-in-law. But on the way there, I was praying. I've been doing a lot of praying lately. I've been praying for the church, for the problems that we're facing. I've been praying for you, that God would lead you and touch your hearts in a way that it would give you peace, and that you would draw closer to each other and to Him. that these problems will not destroy us, but that we would be able to handle him with his help. And then I prayed for me, and I asked God to once again do this for me, cleanse me of all my sin, to make me whiter than snow. He said, yeah. He said, yes. I felt the Spirit pour out over me as I was driving down the road. Just, oh, it was so strong and so beautiful. And I was hoping that you all felt it too. Like I know that you have in the past. Because I know that's what you long for. It's the most wonderful feeling that we've ever experienced. It's what David was searching for, that in that point in his life, to be cleansed, purified of all blood guiltiness. And then I was able to come here this morning, and you were all here, and the service was very nice. We remembered what he'd done for us, the promises that he made for us, and we all took that oath again. I thank you for being here this morning. This is Matthew, the 3rd chapter. John the Baptist is teaching and preaching to the people. He's baptizing in the River Jordan. In verse 7 it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He called them snakes. Basically, he said they were servants of the devil, that evil serpent that lied to Adam and Eve. He says, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he tells them, after he's basically called them evil, he says, "You people, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Don't think that you're going to get away with it. God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you have done. And there's no way that you're going to be able to talk your way into heaven or buy your way into heaven, except through this. You've got to repent of your sins. I want you to change the way you look at sin. Every sin that you've ever committed in your life up until this point in time, you've sacrificed animals to cover up your sins. But I'm telling you, you've got to stop thinking that way. I want you to realize that if you keep committing sin and you don't put it away from you, that you're going to die for eternity. If you don't change the way you think, repent. Because that's what it means, change the way you think. If you don't change the way you think, you're going to end up being servants of that evil serpent for the rest of eternity, you generation of vipers. And there's no way out of it. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what he does. He takes away your sin. He took away our sins. And every time we ask him to do it, he does it again. But he wants us to stop. He doesn't want us to just say, oh, well, I'll ask him when I get home tonight to forgive me of my sins. He wants us to stop. He says, there's a whole world of people out there that don't know what you know. Sean, do you know how many people don't realize that I am still willing to commit miracles for them? These two people here that have come to visit us tonight have no idea what God has done for my family. My wife and my daughters are sitting behind you. Each one of them has been deathly sick in their life, to the point where the doctors have told me, if there's anybody that you want to call and ask them to pray for you, you need to do it now because they're not going to survive. Your wife's not going to make it through the operation that we have to perform. Your daughter won't be here tomorrow. She's going to die today. Those are the words that came out of the doctor's mouths to me at different times in my life. And I was able to call for the elders. And they came and they anointed their heads with oil, like it says in James. And they prayed for them. They laid their hands on their heads, like it says to do. And they prayed for them. And God healed them miraculously, to where the doctors that were in charge of the operations and their sicknesses. My daughter had cancer as a child. My wife, she had a blood clot in her brain. And the doctors came to me afterwards and said, do you know how miraculous this is? They were going to die. The one doctor that was in charge of my daughter, Savannah, he was from Iran. He was Iranian. And he stopped us in the entryway of the hospital 3 days later after he told my wife that our daughter was going to die. He said, Mr. and Mrs. Sprague, I want to tell you something. I did not save your daughter's life. It was not me. I didn't, after I told you that I was taking her off of all meds and that she was going to die that day, I didn't do anything else for her but take her off of all meds. He knew that we had had men come and administer to her. He knew, he saw it happen. And he said, we did not save your little girl's life. It wasn't us. I hope you understand that. And I said, yes, I understand that. This is what he wants from us. You, my brothers and sisters, this is what he wants us to do for the rest of the world, is to let them know that he's still willing to answer prayers, that he still wants to save people from an eternal death. And he expects us to let them know. Teach transgressors of his ways. Save sinners from their sins. This is what he expects from us. This is what he actually commands us to do. Tell them about repentance. Tell them about baptism. That it's just, that's the gate. That's the first step on that narrow road that leads to eternal life and eternal joy. You know, you think about here on earth, joy, the happiness that you get from the things in this life. New house, yeah. I would like a new house. I know there are a lot of people out here that are house hunting. I know a young couple that, I call them young. They're not so young anymore, I guess, but they are in the middle of getting a new house. My nephew, Jake, and his wife, they signed the papers on their house today. But is that going to give them joy? It's going to make life different for them. Hopefully it's going to make life better for them. But is it going to give them the joy that I have in my heart at this time? Is it going to give them the joy that you get when you feel the Holy Ghost flood your entire being after you've been baptized and cleansed of all your sin? Is it going to be that kind of a joy that you get from these earthly things? No. There's no way that it compares to the joy you receive when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And just like He answers our prayers over our loved ones when they're sick, He'll give that joy to these people when they receive the Holy Ghost. You can have that joy. It's the most amazing thing that you'll ever experience in your life. That I can promise you. All you got to do is ask for it. But there's only one way to get it. Repent of your sins. Go down into the waters of baptism. Make that promise. Make that covenant. Become a soldier of Christ. Make the oath of loyalty, and you'll receive that joy. Keep it for the rest of your life. I beg of you. Don't go back to sin anymore after today. I want you to take the thoughts of your mind, those thoughts of humanity, and I want you to throw them out. What am I going to do for a job? What am I going to do to eat? Where am I going to live? What kind of life am I going to have? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go on vacation? How am I going to retire? I want you to throw them out of your head, and I want you to put in, what is it that God wants me to do now? Do that. Turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew, 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole light shall be full. Thy whole body shall be full of light. You put in your mind your goal that I want to live in heaven for eternity. That's the goal. Put that in your mind. Make that the foremost thought in your mind. Whenever you run into a problem during the day or night, at work, at home, on the road, I don't care where it is, keep that thought foremost in your mind. My goal is to make it to heaven, and I have got to do the very best through this problem that's facing me right now to make it to heaven. I cannot afford to commit sin. I cannot afford to have blood guiltiness put upon me again because of this problem that's facing me. My goal is to make it to heaven. You keep that in your mind. Do God's will, because His will is that you make it to heaven. That's what He wants for you, is that you to make it to heaven. So you keep that foremost in your mind. If you got to dump your mind out, all the memory, all everything, just dump it out if you have to, and put that in there. Make it as the biggest thought that you have, an all-consuming thought. Heaven, it's my goal. And then the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And then there's always the other side. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. There's no way that you can serve them both. You're going to either be a generation of vipers, or you're going to be an oath keeper, a loyal soldier of Christ. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Think about how Adam and Eve messed up. Think about how many times you've messed up in your life because you got preoccupied on these things. Even the problems that are facing us as a church, how preoccupied are you on those to where you're forgetting all this other stuff? Is it consuming your thoughts? I hope not. I'm hoping that your thoughts are, my goal is to make it to heaven. My goal is to do the very best I can so that others will learn about how to make it to heaven. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And really, it's not the clothes that make the man. That's an old saying, but it's true. It's what's in your heart, the eye of your mind. If it's single, focused on one thought, heaven is my goal, he's going to take care of you. I mean, he takes care of us all the time. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My brothers and sisters, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for it, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thank you.